SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Scumbags! Rage!
Sports Rage with Gabe Morenci.
Rage all you want.
Let's roll. This is Sports Rage, level 3. I am Morenci. Anthony Edwards scored a career high 49 points tonight to surpass his previous high of 48 that he scored earlier in the year. He's the first player to have multiple 45-point games of the season before turning 21 since Kevin Durant, who did it in 2008/2009. We talk a lot of futures and bets and props and stuff. And going into next year, it's something to keep your eye on. Just get a piece of this kid, basically. As he said earlier this year, he said, next year I will win the MVP. It's funny. A lot of athletes say, oh, I don't care about those, that type of thing. You know what I mean? They do in the NBA. As we've talked about, they do. Man, this kid is good, though. And, man, I remember at the time, too, so many people didn't like him. Oh, he doesn't do this. He doesn't do that out of Georgia. Remember they asked him about the T-Wolves, what he thinks about going to the T-Wolves. He said, I never heard of them before. And, like, they said, well, who's your favorite? He said, who's your favorite basketball player? And he said, I don't watch basketball. Like Anthony, he's actually one of the funnier interviews now. He was playing people a little bit, but, like, remember when they asked him, what do you think of Alex Rodriguez? And he said, who, the owner of the team? They said, yeah, what do you know? He said, I know he signs my check. That's all that Edwards said. And they said, you know, he played baseball. He goes, yeah, I don't know. Like, Edwards is one of these kids. He didn't know. He didn't care. And people were like, oh, he doesn't love the game. And I swear to God, you can find my tweet, man. You can find on the show what I say. You don't have to love it. All right, trust me. You don't have to love something to be great at it. The Raptors trailed by as many 15 points tonight. Came back. I like how, though, the story is. It's on ESPN Stats and Info. The story of Raptors trails as many as 15 behind Pascal Siakam's 37-point triple-double. It's about Philadelphia. Philadelphia lose their seventh game this season after leading by 15 or more points. Second only to the Knicks, most in the NBA. But that's the team that's going to make the big run in the playoffs, right? Oh, yeah, of course. Of course. So a Masters Tiger. Tiger is at like 11:04, I believe, tomorrow. Tiger's up in the morning again. And we've got to play it on him for make the cut. You know, it was crazy, too. It actually went up. Like, it went up. You know, it was like minus, man. I saw it like minus 125, then it was minus 112. Then next thing I know, it's like plus 112, plus 108, and all this, which I found to be baffling, actually. And I'm telling you, Tiger Woods can play better than he did today. Now, will it be enough to win? I don't know. Right? I mean, man, you got to give credit. The guy to really watch out for that I don't think will go away is the Australian dude, Cam Smith. This kid, the mullet, the kid with the mullet. He's sort of just like a greaseball type of dude. He's not like these other golfers. I don't know, like, he seems like the type of guy that would fight you in the parking lot. He looks like the type of guy who's got a switchblade in his golf bag. This is Sports Rage. I am Morenci. Level 3 has begun. Watch out, Tiger. He's got a switchblade. Yeah, Cam Smith. For people, I don't know if you guys saw Cam Smith. Most golfers look like annoying type of people that you want, you know. Let's just be real. You know, a lot of golfers, like, yeah, this guy looks like a tool bag. But, yeah, whatever. I got money on him. All right? The Cam Smith guy, though, he looks like a meth dealer or something. Like, he really, like, he looks, I don't know, man, there's, like, he's got some crazy, sort of, he looks crazy. Like, golfers don't really look like this guy, generally. I'm telling you, like, I saw him in a clubhouse today, man. He's got the full mullet thing going. His hair is all over the place. He sort of looks insane. He's, like, sort of, like, intensely listening to the question, like, looking at, like, Nance, like, you know, I could stab you if I wanted to, right? Like, yeah, like I said, this picture of Cam Smith's got like a switchblade in his golf bag. In case things got a little carried away on the green there on the course, he ain't messing with Cam Smith. I think there's some of these guys will be able to handle the pressure moving forward, and Cam Smith is one of them. And I got to tell you what, this Scottie Scheffler, man. Wow, Scottie Scheffler's playing great golf. Definitely in the mix. I didn't come into this. Listen, I played Corey Connors to win at 50-1, and Corey Connors played well today, but basically everybody played well today. So as much as we can talk about this and that with the Masters, it's like a baseball game, man. It's 1-1 after the first inning. Like, there's no real major takeaway besides the Tiger aspect that if you thought that, oh, there's no way this guy can do it, yeah, he can. I got in at 40-1. You know, it was 48-1. I got in at 40-1 today, earlier in the day, like mid-round when he was playing. I was like, you know what? I got to get in on this. Like, he's going to play well. I'm going to make money on the make-the-cut thing. So let me just take a little sprinkle on this in case he makes it into Sunday, and then we're a part of it with a big fat number. We'll get Bob Ryan's take. Bob Ryan, Boston Globe, ESPN Television, will step up and in and join us a little bit later on. Sungjae Im is the leader. Remember, Hideki won last year. Japan last year, South Korea this year. Land of the Rising Suns. Bring it.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You are listening to Sports Rage Late Night with Gabe Morenci.
Whoa, yeah! All right, we roll it. Let's go. The Atlanta Braves, of course, lost tonight to the Cincinnati Reds. It's pretty crazy. You know, you look at the National Football League and the lack of repeat champions, right? Oh, the Chiefs are going to win a million through this and that. Oh, this team's going to win. And no one does, right? Going back to the Patriots and Tom Brady, what was it, 2005? Was it 2005 and 2006, or was it 2006, 2007? I know it was 2004 and 2005, 04, 05, I believe. But anyways, it's been 22 years since the team repeated as World Series champions. And in fact, no reigning champ has even made the World Series the following year since the Phillies in 2008/9. So I really wish I would have known this stat last year before I bet all that money on the Dodgers to go to the World Series. See, I try to stay on top of everything, man. Right? Like, you know, my mind is like a computer. It's like, you know, I just bang these things up. Tiger hasn't missed a cut since 1996. No team has repeated NCAA since 2006 and 2007 in the Florida Gators. Right? Like, all these sort of things that you try to, like, remember in your head. And, you know, don't bet on it, you know. So, 22 years, it's amazing, man. No team has even made a World Series following the season since the Phillies in 2008 and 2009. Dodgers last year lost in the National League Championship Series. 2019, Nationals won the World Series. The following year, they missed the playoffs. 2018, the Red Sox won the World Series. The following year, they missed the playoffs. 2017, the Astros won the World Series. That's when they were cheating. And they lost in the Championship Series in the following year. Very difficult to repeat. So, in other words, we can scratch the Atlanta Braves. It's a fun time right now in the sports year. It's the calm before the storm. I'm not like the biggest Masters guy. I don't wax poetic about this stuff like Jim Nance, but I do enjoy it from a betting perspective, and to me, it's the coolest golf tournament. I don't mind the British Open and stuff, but the Masters is. Like, the course looks cool. You know what I mean? It's just, it looks cool. There's something about it. Like, it's just made for betting somehow as well. Like, there's so many options. And, right, one thing I know is about the Masters, it moves along quickly. You know what I mean? Like, you watch some of these golf tournaments during the summer and stuff, really just the normal stuff, and it's like, dear God, is this slow and boring, right? The Masters, they do, it's a great production. It's very, hey, let's go. Oh, Spieth just missed the putt. Oh, we're going to Tiger. All right. Oh, what's Bryson up to? Boom, 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 boom. I found the coverage today was very good. Like, you know what I mean? I was like, wow, this is very quick moving. Like, it's very, like, it's got a pace to it, even though it's golf. It had a quick, almost too quick. And I'm saying that. And I'm in a speed metal band. And even I was like, man, slow down a little bit. Like, hang around on the green for a minute with the guy. Right? But it was very, like, boom. All right, next shot. Very, it was almost like a horse track. The Meadowlands was like that. Right? You'd be watching a race, man, and... Man, sometimes you wouldn't even get the result, and it would change it to another race on the screen. So it would just be this constant, like, next up, next up, next up. And that's how it feels like in the sports world right now. But for me, it's like, all right, this is cool. You got the Masters going. Baseball's back. I think, you know, we're trying to give you guys some baseball tips, and I think one of them we can do is, like, don't bet every game. Don't bet a bunch of money line parlays or favorite parlays thinking, oh, this can't lose because it can't. Look at today. We're upset today right off the top. San Diego loses. Everybody thinks Arizona's going to suck. San Diego loses. Oh, the Cubs are terrible. The Brewers and everyone in this division sucks, right? The opposite happened. What do we hear? Oh, the Brewers are easily going to win a division. The Cardinals are terrible. Well, the Cardinals won 9-0 and the Brewers lost. Baseball's whack like that. So I think baseball is the classic pick your spots, right? And that's another good thing about baseball. There's every damn day, man, there's 15 games. Right? There's 30 teams, 15, like they all play every day. So, like, literally, you have, like, a lot of options every day. So you don't have to force it. It's not like the NBA where it's like, ah, there's only 4 games tonight and they all suck and I really don't want to take this team, but I guess I will because, it's on TNT and there's nothing else. You know what I mean? Baseball is not like that. Baseball, you can really go, I don't have to bet that. There's 9 other games still coming up tonight. Right? Like, you can really sort of, like, today I did a good job baseball tonight, just sort of picking our spots. And what did we go? We went, I think I went 6-2 today. 5-2 or 6-2 in baseball. I lost the Angels. I took the Angels, and I lost the Braves -1.5. Those were the two I lost. But I had the under in the Royals game. I had the Cardinals. I had the Cardinals on a couple of parlays. I had Arizona at plus money. I went big on the under, the Arizona-San Diego game. I think I went 5-2. Whatever. You know what I mean? I don't care. I'm not trying to sell picks, so what do I care? All I care about is, like, look at the account. Do I have more money now than I do? Than I did this morning. That's like the whole thing, right? That's the only thing. I used to want to be like, oh, I got to kill it every day. Now I've sort of learned, you know what I mean? And, I don't want to be cheesy and say, oh, it doesn't matter if you only won $7, it's good. No, that sucks. You wasted a lot of time. Right? You put all this time in, and at the end of the night, you're like, damn, I lost 13 bucks, or I won 10 bucks. But, you know what I mean? If you have a day and you're like, look, I won 318 bucks tonight, that's good. As gamblers, and especially younger gamblers, a lot of us, and, you know, I was that way before, and I still am at times, we want the big score, right? And I'm not just talking about, oh, you're playing a 10-team parlay, but you want to win a lot of money, you're aggressive, and this and that. And over-aggression hurts, right? It's like sports. You got to, like, approach betting like a team would approach, like, a basketball game or, like, a football game. You know what I mean? Like, all right, you're betters as betters. We all want to get the opening kickoff and throw a bomb for a touchdown on the first play. It's like, no, how about we run the ball down the field here? Let's rack up some wins here, some first downs. Hey, there's another win. There's another little win, a little profit there. Right? Let's get some first downs. Let's get in the habit of moving the ball up and down the field as opposed to let's get in the habit of trying to hit a Hail Mary all the time. And, you know, if you do the math, we've talked about it. And this is, you know, someone that lived in Vegas, I know. And, years ago, $72,000 sounded like a little more, but even now it's pretty good money. I wouldn't say, oh, that sucks, but $200 a day. You make $200, you bet, if you make $200 a day betting on sports, he makes like $72,000 a year. So imagine, like, you know what I mean? If someone said, you know, hey, I got a new job. Oh, yeah, what's the pay? Oh, it was $72,000 a year. He'd be like, yeah, it's pretty good. Oh, what do you do? Wow, it's kind of hard work. I work in a mine, and, you know, I mean, it's tough. Or I work in the sewer with the rats, but I'm getting 70K. It's like, yeah, well, I'm making 72K. Well, what do you do? I eat Domino's, and I bet on San Diego baseball games. I watch sports all day. Right? And it's funny because how many of us have won $200 in a day and thought, man, whatever, dude, who cares? Right? Like, man, yeah, who cares? It's not $2,000. It's not $20,000. It's $200. So what? That's dinner. Dinner for two. All right? So, yeah, good for you. You won $200. Right? That used to be my attitude. Now it's like, well, you know what? $200 a day, that's $1,400 a week. That's $2,800 every 2 weeks. That's $5,600 a month. All right. Hey, look, start doing the math. Oh, that's $72,000 at $200 a day. And you know what's crazy? $200 a day is very attainable. Like, and the good thing about a $200 a day plan, you don't have to be crazy to strive for it. Like, you don't have to risk. Like, the risk management reward isn't that bad. Right? Like, to win $200 a day, you don't have to bet $500 a game. You know what I'm saying? You bet $100 a game, you're going to win $200 a day. And you're not risking a ton of money. And at the end of the year, hey, I just made $72,000 betting on sports. Sounds pretty good, huh? How about $300 a day? Can we get it over $100K? This is Sports Rage. Bob Ryan joins us next. Bring it.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Sports Rage Late Night continues. I am Gabe Morency, Sirius XM Channel 159, breaking it down on the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio. Shout out to all of our AM radio affiliates across the nation. Let's bring in one of our favorite guests. And, man, there's a lot of stuff to throw at him. And I really look forward to his takes on the Masters, the start of the Major League Baseball season, NBA playoffs rapidly approaching. The great Bob Ryan steps up and in and joins us. Bob, it's always a pleasure, my man. Thanks a lot for taking the time to be with us. How you doing?
I'm doing very well. Thank you.
So, Bob, are you a fan of the Tiger Woods show? How much of a Masters guy are you?
I'm a fan of the majors and the Masters, of course, and the whole Tiger saga is phenomenal. I mean, it's fascinating. I'm still ambivalent about him personally, but I would tell you professionally what he has accomplished today after all that happened. It fuels the legend. It just grows and grows and grows.
We almost shouldn't be surprised at this point, right? That he shows up at Augusta and he plays this well. And if you're Tiger, I imagine just how happy he must be inside about where his game is at right now, within striking distance after the first day of play.
No, he's one under, and that's a decent place to start. I don't think the weather, they're going to be very windy tomorrow. The conditions won't be tremendous to produce real low scores in this tournament, and so who knows how much under par it's going to take, but maybe not a whole lot. But he certainly has to feel good about where he is right now after day one.
You know, Bob, my opinion was earlier in the week about as far as Tiger too, and I said let's recognize him as a great golfer, and it's amazing, but I find a little bit of twist of irony when he gets the sort of hero's comeback story all the time for racking trees and putting cars in ditches. Other people lose their licenses. He gets the Jim Nance hero treatment. Like, a lot of his comebacks were kind of, self-inflicted errors that put him in the comeback situation in the first place.
Well, this is true. What happened in 09 was crazy. I mean, the whole scenario and this thing that happened last year is very disturbing because he skated away from a reckless act that could have killed someone else, and let alone himself. And we'll never know the full details or have the honest answer from him about.
They didn't test him on the scene. I don't want to relive it and everything, but you know what happened.
I can't celebrate this as a him. I can't celebrate him. I can celebrate. I can approve. Or I can appreciate the act. The professionalism. When he said that, he reiterated that his eternal thing that I only tee it up if I think I can win or I intend to win. And he said he confirmed that the other day. I'm saying to myself, get out of here. Fine, you can say that, but can you possibly really believe that? Then he goes out and shoots a 71 today, and we don't know how that's going to be the prelude to what for the rest of the tournament.
And I imagine too, he held back a little bit, Bob, right? Just sort of, let's not do anything crazy, and let I imagine a confidence will start to grow. So, Bob, you and I have talked, and I remember, and I know your disdain for 3-point shots, and the modern, hey, let's take 57 3-point shots in a basketball game. I've actually legitimately been angered by the changes in baseball and the proposed more changes, and they're actually going to do this stuff with pitch clocks, and so now we've got electronic devices. So we have electronic devices to stop people from stealing signals. We don't want modern technology in the game because of what the Astros did. So let's not suspend anybody. Let's react like 5 years later and add more technology into the game. It actually sickens me. We've been playing baseball for 146 years, Bob. If you can't figure out how to not get your signals stolen, you're an idiot. Like, figure it out. It's part of the game. That was a game within the game. How do you feel about the electronic devices and the talk about pitch clocks with the pitchers, DH now in the NL? What's your take on the modern baseball rule changes?
I have been a firm advocate of pitch clocks, and it don't stop there. I also want a firm prohibition about batters leaving the box, the batter's box, unless the fastball has singed their nostrils. They should be forced to stay in the box, and if they want to request a timeout from the referee from the umpire for a reason, that's fine. Don't think, however, that it's automatic. The umpire might say no, stay there. We need this. The batter's not ready to bat is something that has grown and grown over the years, and I think it's got to stop. So I want a pitch clock, and I want batters forced to stay in the box. As far as the electronic thing is concerned, I agree with you about the philosophy that you ought to be able to live with it without resorting to that simply to convey signals. That doesn't bother me. I don't think we need that, but I really believe that we need a pitch clock, and I know I'll never get my wish about keeping them in the box. But if I were commissioner of the sports world, that would be part of the deal.
Yeah, I'm surprised to hear you say that, but I get it in a sense that, you'll get guys, Bob. They're 220 hitters, 225 hitters, and it takes 5 minutes because, as you stated, they step out, readjust the gloves, kick the dirt all over and over again. Seems to me the great ones sort of operated quickly, right? I mean, Tony Gwynn didn't step in and out of the box. What was Ted Williams like?
He was the model. Ted Williams did not leave the box unless it was very, very mandatory. And if you could show people clips of a few Ted Williams games, they would see how it can be done. He is the model. Some of the great hitters did not resort to that stuff, but a few others did. Because we all kid about Mike Hargrove. He was probably the beginning of the real trend, the famous human rain delay. Nomar Gasparra. Nomar Gasparra was the guy we pointed to around here. He stepped out after every pitch and readjusted his wristband, his glove, and all that. And it should never be allowed. That people should be trained in the minor leagues, pitchers to live with the shot clock, and batters to live with the idea that you ain't leaving the box unless the umpire grants you permission.
Yeah, I think a player would say that, hey, I'm not doing this to be a jerk. This is my routine. This is what it is. But as you stated, and I saw the same thing, going back and, crossover sports. But remember in Duke and North Carolina last week, the game was tied. It was a 1-point game. And I brought it up at the time. I said, man, the Duke kids are thinking too much on the line. You can just see it, Bob, right? They got the ball, the deep breaths, the looking at the coach. And the kids on North Carolina, they didn't look. Like, they didn't hesitate. He who hesitates is lost, Bob, especially in the sports world.
Well, that's remember last year during the playoffs when they started zoning in on Antetokounmpo and the fans and rival fans were counting down, from 10. You're supposed to have 10 seconds, and he got better.
Yeah, you made him better.
He's better. Right, he's better this year. And so having knowing that he's going to get it done within 10. you know, there's any, well, I don't know. You know what? I was there, and I didn't even notice this. This is the first I've heard anybody discuss the idea that the Duke kids were taking a long time with free throws. That didn't occur to me. I'm sure when you're watching on TV, they may comment something. I'm sitting up 5 miles away, you know, and literally, and you know, and enjoying the atmosphere. Trust me, I'd rather be there than be home. But still, the fact is that when you're home, you are, and this is true in all sports, when you're home, you get access to information that's not available to a paying customer anywhere.
Oh, it's tough. And even, listen, even on TV, there was some confusion at the end. You know, Billis wasn't sure if they called him out of bounds or not. So you had been to you've been to obviously a lot of Final Fours before. How was this one? You know, what was the feeling in the air like with Duke, North Carolina?
That was really special. I've been to this 33rd in my 33rd Final Four. I covered 29. I've gone to four more since I retired in officially in 2012. And this was really special. I mean, the buzz, the anticipation. You know, let me say this: the path the teams take to get to a Final Four now is markedly different, even than it was 5 years ago, due to the transfer portal madness. And it's going to be even crazier as the NIL sets in. We don't have any remote conception of the full ramifications of the NIL. But when you had the NIL and the transfer portal, the college football and basketball and process has been radically altered. And let me say this: I've been to Final Fours going back to 1970 in College Park, when all four teams and the officials and the media stayed in the same hotel. And then we went over to College Park to the Cole Fieldhouse for the games. Once you get inside the arena, nothing has changed. Not in my 52 years of going to games there and going to Final Fours. The atmosphere is exactly as it always
has
been.
That's great to hear.
The four bands, because Dave Gavitt once said to me that he thought the Saturday afternoon of the Final Four was the best day in sports. Now, he was a basketball guy. But he talked about the fact that as you're going in that arena, the four bands are all there. All the fans think their team's going to win. There's a feel of excitement and anticipation. Then the first team comes out to take the floor, and the fans go crazy, et cetera, et cetera. And after the first game, people that won the first game, they can relax and watch the game and the next game and see who they're going to play. Anyway, that has not changed, and it was still a very familiar Final Four atmosphere in New Orleans.
Bob Ryan with us. And then Kansas cuts down the Nets. Bob, we're up against it here, and I want to get your take on the NBA playoffs as well. But Bill Self, he'd already won a championship before. I'm curious your take on this. Almost seemed to me, and I said before, that it feels like to me, not it wasn't my take, I've always liked Bill Self, but that it almost like he hasn't won, that he needed another championship to validate himself. And he even said it himself. He goes, for all the great teams I've had, yeah, I should have won more than once.
Yeah,
well, now he has.
Kansas has knocked on the door a lot in the last 20 years, and they've had number one seeds that flopped, and they've had you know, a lot of things that didn't in years teams when they seemed to have as good a team as anybody, and it didn't get done. He did get it done once, and thank God for Mario Chalmers making one of the great shots in NBA history and in Final Four history, because they were on the verge of losing that game, and he saved their life right there. This was a little more definitive, so I agree with that, and because they have had so many good teams. The next guy that's going to heal that pressure is Mark Few, and I don't know how many times Gonzaga can keep coming back and back and knocking on that door without getting it done. I don't know. I'm saying they can't, but I know this wasn't their best team, but still they were a number one seed, and it didn't get done.
Bob Ryan with us. The Late Night Anger Management Class continues. This is Sports Ridge.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
We're throwing it down. Sirius XM Channel 159, the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio. This is Sports Rage. I am Gabriel Morenzi on the Sports Grid Radio Networks. The legendary and great Bob Ryan with us. And Bob, you're an East Coast guy, but I look forward to your take on the Lakers situation and LeBron from afar. And I know the Celtics as well as anybody. And I remember the story from Michael Jordan not liking the Chief, not liking Parrish. And Parrish goes to the Bulls, and Jordan's a jerk with him. And I don't know if it was, I don't know, he thought, oh, he can't, he doesn't have great hands in the paint or whatever. And like, if Jordan threw a high pass at him just to be a jerk and sort of test him. And Parrish basically told him, listen, I'm not one of your guys here. I don't like you either, and I'll kill you. Like, he basically said, I'll murder you, Mike. Like, I don't care. Don't F with me, bro. And Jordan said, welcome to Chicago, and sort of walked away after. And I was talking about, I said, if someone did that to LeBron, you know, if a vet showed up on a LeBron team and LeBron did something and Buddy, like, literally man-to-man said, I'll kill you, LeBron. Don't ever F with me again. That guy would be gone the next morning. And I was just sort of saying, Jordan didn't have to like you. You know, Bob, he didn't like, you know, 80% of the guys on the team he didn't like. And I don't know, you would know more than I do, but I believe Krause when he said, listen, Jordan didn't come in here and tell me sign this guy and sign that guy. He said, get me guys I can win with. And I threw out that I think LeBron would rather play with his buddies and be a pretend GM with his agent and stuff than actually say, you know what, I don't like this guy, I don't like that guy, but I can win another title by playing with these guys. That's how I see it. Listen, LeBron doesn't get any of the blame for this. Oh, look at the roster. Come on, Bob. He's the one that constructs this roster. Let's be real. It's not like Pelinka has that power there. It was LeBron.
Well, I would disagree with you. I think everybody's coming down. The media is certainly holding him accountable, at least as far as I can tell. And you know, this was a roster that was put together. It was the AARP All-Stars. It was a lab experiment, and that experiment failed, and it was LeBron. I mean, you don't think that people have been saying that all year? The media has not been on top of this and making jokes about it. It's an open joke. I think he's.
But I almost feel. What about Westbrook though? Like, oh, it's Westbrook, dude. Some people were blaming Frank Vogel. Frank Vogel. What the hell do you want Frank Vogel to do with this?
He'll be the scapegoat. You know that, and he'll be the scapegoat. Yeah. Someone had a great line about Westbrook. I wish I could tell you. I think it was in a tweet. He said it was subtraction by addition. Now that isn't that great? And it turns out it was. And Westbrook, you know, they still had impressive numbers for anybody else, but we know he wasn't the same player at the level. No, it didn't work. Then you bring in Dwight Howard, who's, you know, next to useless now, and then Rondo came and went, and Trevor Ariza was 35 or 6, and then Melo, you know, I mean, come on, you know, Melo, LeBron is the GM. LeBron's, it's his boys, it's his thing. Then he goes out and puts up a phenomenal statistical year, the best 38-year-old statistical, 37, excuse me, statistical year in NBA history, and he may very well still win the scoring title, big deal, and you know, he'll be able to say, well, I did what I could do, but, you know, no, it's a mess, and that's their mess, and of course we're laughing at, and we're here in Boston, where the Celtics got life, and their core is still young, and though they won't get it done this year without Robert Williams, if he can't play, but they had a shot at making a run with him, and they're all coming back, you know, next year. Now they have to worry about keeping Tatum the year after, but, you know, they're in good position, and, you know, when we frame ourselves against the Lakers, and they frame themselves against the Celtics, and right now the Celtics' future is a hell of a lot brighter than the Lakers.
So the Williams loss is that, it means that much, especially when playoff basketball starts, right?
It turns them, it absolutely takes them out of, you know, second tier fringe championship contention into, well, maybe they can win a round. I mean, there's no replacement for him on the roster. He had turned into one of those modern rim protecting, alley-ooping off the pick and roll guys that gives them, the last game he played, or one of the last games, he out Rudy Gobert. I mean, he did the things Rudy Gobert did even better that night. Oh, he's a real force, major force, and he had grown into it, and the whole thing was clicking, and everything else is, you know, they're all playing at the well they can possibly play, but they're not going to. There will be a limit to what they can attain without Robert Williams.
You've seen all the great players in the NBA, Bob, and we see this year, especially over the last, I don't know, month or so, everybody's putting up massive numbers. So it's like, and I'm not taking it away from DeMar DeRozan. I like DeMar a lot. I think he's a great guy. He's a very, very good basketball player. But, all right, oh, he's the first guy to do this since Jordan. Oh, Jalen Green, the kid in Houston. Oh, he scored 30 points in a row in five straight games. And we see these numbers. Halliburton, to me, was the most impressive one. I mean, 17 assists without any turnovers. That's cooler to me than scoring 30 points on a bad team that, you know, in a game where the total was 255 points. But what's your take on this? Are all these guys just super amazing and like, oh, my God, they're amazing? Or is nobody playing defense? Is it a little bit of both? Why do so many stats and records get broken recently, Bob?
I think the talent's there. I, you know, defense
They've never been more sophisticated than they are today. The thing about it is that they've changed the rules in terms of, you know, the hand touching and the touch and all that. And, you know, that's a different game than it was in 15 years ago or 20 years ago. But no, you give credit to the talent. And because they, you know, not that, you know, I hate the three, but it's a rare fact of life. And people have bred themselves from ages 13 and 14 to shoot it. And it makes a difference. And, you know, some nights when they're all going in, it's tremendous. DeRozan he's evolved over, gotten better and better as time's going on, and he's peaking. How about Devin Booker, you know? He's a fringe superstar. No, there's a lot of tremendous players, really. But the Bridges, and oh, yeah. No, I choose to look at it that way in a positive light.
There's a big MVP debate, Jokic, Joel Embiid. People don't really talk about Giannis. Just I think we take him for granted, and once you're a champion, you know, that people aren't as sympathetic, it seems. What's your opinion on this? Like, Joel Embiid came out and said, listen, if I don't win this thing, it's because the media just hates me, I guess. He thinks he's done everything he can do. Jokic is the front runner according to the odds makers right now. Bob, what's your take on the MVP chase?
I think that there's no right and wrong among those three guys. I mean, whoever doesn't win has no right to be outraged. And whoever does win said, boy, I was lucky I beat those guys. Embiid is, you know, a little. I like having him in the mix. He's a character. He's had a tremendous season. If he doesn't get it, it's simply because people had to make a tough call in favor of either Jokic or Giannis. And Giannis, people are now once again coming to the realization of how good he is. And he gets better and better all the time. And so there you go with that. I think it's going to be interesting. If I were a voter, it'd be hard. I don't think my mind would be made up yet. I'd have to do a lot of deliberation and maybe parse a few more metrics, blah blah blah, you know, and then flip the coin, you know.
Yeah, it's tough. I know, like you said, they're all great players, and I don't like when you talk about one guy, we always end up sort of somehow diminishing another guy's skill. So we'll get you out of here, Bob. Just one last question about the NBA. So NBA playoffs, mm-hmm. The play-in tournament is around the corner. Yeah. I think, you know, at first when they announced it, I was like, what the hell is this? What do you mean play-in tournament? Well, you know what? It's teams that are in fourth, fifth place, sixth place, honest, and made them play harder during the regular season, and it gives a chance to the other teams to play in tournament and all that other stuff. But who are the teams to beat? Like, if I asked you right now, who's playing in the finals? Is it a rematch of last year? Do you see something else happening? Are you buying into a team that we're not talking about? You know, just a quick sort of, you know, mini prediction of how you think the teams to beat in the NBA going into the playoffs.
I think the team that is going to set a franchise record for wins, Phoenix, as you have every right. There's no reason to think they can't keep this up. And of course, the great subplot there is Chris Paul. Naturally, you know, he's not gotten the championship. So I still like them. There's no reason not to like them. I'll put it that way. I think Milwaukee still. I know Miami's the number one seed, and I'm not discounting them at all. But and in fact, they did something amazing the other night. They had 74 points off the bench, including 35 by Tyler Herro. Some nights when those threes are falling with Herro and Duncan Robinson and, yeah, and company, they're impossible to beat on those particular nights. But I like Milwaukee a lot. I think Giannis has gotten better and better over time. They've got the three guys, and they got Brook Lopez back just in time. You know, he had 28 the other night. He hadn't had a game like that in 2 years. He anchors their defense. I think they're going to be really primed for the playoffs. I like them in the East.
Bob,
Brooklyn, now we have one factor. Brooklyn is the most fascinating oddity in the history of the playoffs. We don't know what to expect. We don't even know if we're ever going to see Ben Simmons or what effect he could have, particularly on their defense. But even so, you know, Irving can go out and get Irving and Durant together some night could get 80. You know, I mean, seriously. And I wouldn't put it past them to have a 40-point game. So they're going to be fascinating to watch. They're a major, major X factor.
And isn't it so strange, Bob, because if you're one of the top-tier teams, you end up getting Brooklyn. I mean, that's what's crazy. You're right. Brooklyn, dangerous. Bob, always a pleasure, sir. Thanks a lot for taking the time to be with us. Bob Ryan, Boston Globe. NNN, ESPN. Great stuff with Bob Ryan. It's amazing, isn't it? Bob in Vermont couldn't stay up with us, but Bob Ryan can. And you know what? It's pretty crazy. With all due respect to the great Bob Ryan, I think a lot of you nut jobs out there were like, it's too bad. I thought it was Bob in Vermont. I said it before and I'll say it again. there's some people, there's a small minority of people that are tuning into the program for sports talk radio. And there's a big portion of the people, and it's always been this way. I clued into this years ago. I told someone once, I said, man, I could have Wayne Gretzky and Pete Rose on together at the same time. And people just, you know, in the old days, they want to call in. Now they just chat or whatever. It's their bets and, you know, or they want to hear the nut job callers. I've come to that conclusion. So, yes, Bob in Vermont, stiffed us, Bob Ryan, the Hall of Fame writer. No, Bob Ryan came through. Bob in Vermont did not. I think the difference is Bob Ryan doesn't smoke the kush in Vermont in the same way that Bob does. I see something interesting here. Gut feelings are as real as they feel. Gut feelings. They're emotionally intuitive signals transmitted from your gut to your brain via the vagus nerve. Interesting. Gut feel. Well, I have a gut feel that Tiger Woods is going to be in the mix all weekend long. As I said, I'm not a big Tiger Woods fan or anything like that. I'm not a Tiger Woods mark. You know what I'm saying? But whatever, dude. Like, Augusta is the one place you see it all the time. If you know how to play well here, you'll play well here. And Tiger Woods is just better than these guys are, especially here. And he's in the mix, man. He's in the mix. We're going to cash this. He's going to make the cut. He's going to make the cut. And then we'll just hope for the best. And if not, hopefully one of our other guys wins. Corey Connors, Xander Schauffele, and Adam Scott. Those are the plays that we made. So as far as we got baseball is back, Yankees and Red Sox. I think they're both annoying, to be honest. The Red Sox and Yankees, yeah, whatever. Yeah, I mean, you guys think you're the center of the universe and stuff. Everyone else in the rest of the country is sick and tired of seeing you on Sunday Night Baseball all the time. Oh, but it's the Yankees. Oh, I don't know if he's Yankee material. Even one since Derek Jeter retired a million years ago. This is Sports Rage. Vet your age. Bring it.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Late Night Anger Management Class, this is Sports Rage. I'm a fan of the Twitter account, Uber Facts. There's some interesting stuff here. I was talking about the gut instinct, and this one I laugh at. I'm going to remember this. There's a ton of crows around me, man. There's crows everywhere. And there's literally like thousands of them. I'm not exaggerating. Every time at the same time of the day, in the morning and nighttime, man, there's like 8,000 of them. It's like an air force of them. And then they separate, but they separate in packs and stuff. But this is crazy. Crows can recognize human faces and have been known to hold grudges against people they don't like. I like crows, so I have no beef with you guys. It's like an Alfred Hitchcock movie, man. Things can go bad fast, man. Don't mess with the crows, man. We'll tell you that. All right, so baseball is back. Baseball is back. Red Sox and Yankees, 106 Eastern time. Eovaldi, Gerrit Cole, Yankees minus 174. Do I love this bet? No. It's a tough game. It's the Yankees and the Red Sox. They always have weird games. But just out of principle, I don't think the Yankees should be minus 174 favorites. This is like the Dodgers and Giants playing the first game of the year. You know what I mean? Like, anything could happen. They hate each other. They're pretty evenly matched. Anything could happen in this game. So it's just sort of like, you know what? I'll bet the number here. Red Sox plus 146. And the other early game, we'll take the underdog as well. So give me the Boston Red Sox plus 146 in New York in the Bronx. Give me the Detroit Tigers at home at 1:11 Eastern time against the White Sox at plus 118. and then we'll lay the chalk. The Brew Crew, who lost today to the Cubs, get their first win of the season tomorrow. Lay the 64 cents with the Brew Crew. Do it now. It'll be higher in the morning. Other than that, you're on your own. Later.